Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast. I'm Nat Gertler, the fool who turned his obsession into a career. Well, a partial career, as a professional Peanuts nerd. And really, I do things beside that as well, both professionally and in my mysterious and coveted private life. Okay, I stole the term mysterious and coveted private life from the Canadian comedy troupe The Frantics, but for all you know, it applies quite well. On the last installment of this podcast, I discuss various Peanuts book projects that should exist, but do not yet. On this episode, I'm looking at, well, not a Peanuts project, a Schultz project, that I long thought should exist, thought I'd get around to publishing one day, but then someone else did before I ever put that plan into action. This one goes back to the days before Peanuts. You know, Schultz was working as a comic book letterer. Yes, for those who don't know it, writing the words that go in the word balloons and drawing the sound effects is indeed a career in itself. These days, it's done mostly on computer, using specially designed comic book fonts. But back in the day, the penciler would draw the entire story in pencil. Then a letterer would come in, take care of the word balloons, sound effects, and maybe the panel borders. And then an inker would come in and take care of turning the pencil art into reproducible dark ink lines and actually erase anything that remained of the penciler's art. And then the page would be given to a colorist who added the colors. Now, all of these careers still exist, but they are far more reliant on computers these days, and things are not done in such strict order anymore. But that's another topic for a different time, and probably a different podcast. Anyway, Schultz was a letterer for the Roman Catholic comic book Topics, originally known as Timeless Topics. The comic covered lives of saints, but also more contemporary stories about Roman Catholics, and tried to make it all exciting for its schoolroom readers. Schultz contributed two pages of gag cartoons to the series, a page apiece in two different issues. Nothing particularly Catholic about them, just some gags. But no, I was not thinking of publishing a collection of Schultz's lettering from the comic. There was another comic put out by that same publisher, what we would now call a one-shot. Just a single issue, not a series, but it's formatted like a periodical comic rather than a book. So we'd probably still call it a comic book rather than a graphic novel. And that's the thing I was thinking about reprinting. And in fact, would have thought about reprinting even if Schultz were not involved. The comic in question is This Tomorrow?, subtitled America Under Communism, a 1947 anti-communist work from the very anti-communist-heavy post-Second War of End All Wars era. I tried to get this for years, really spent years kicking myself for not buying a $50 copy when I saw it at the San Diego Comic-Con, back when money was tighter for me than it is now. Ended up settling for a copy missing its cover, years later. The book is a 48-page cautionary tale, showing how the communists take over America, leveraging a drought, although they use the less common term drouth, to create strife, creating power voids and filling them in with party loyalists under various guises, until they have full control over the reins of power and can blatantly take control, seeing to it that only party loyalists are fed, and that the old, the weak, and the malcontents are denied food or killed. And oh, so many of the ills in America are pinned on being part of the communist plot. Labor strikes? They're roiled up by communists. Anti-Semitism? Communism is to blame. Racial conflict? Why, that appears to be such a communist plot that black people don't even exist in this comic book, except when there's a racial conflict. It's almost like the communists must have manufactured non-white people just for this purpose. But as an aside, that lack of representation, it's common for the time. And well after. 15, 20 years later, there was the Dick Van Dyke Show, just as an example. Now, I love the Dick Van Dyke Show. Spent many years wanting to have his life write comedy, come home to young Mary Tyler Moore. Still would love to have that life, actually. Although, I love the life I have, too. Anyway, there were a few times when they did have black speaking characters, but only once that I can recall where the character didn't have to be black for the comedy situation at hand. When they wanted someone normal, it was white guys. About as variant as you got from that was Jamie Farr, the Lebanese-American better known for his work as Klinger on MASH. He would come in and sell sandwiches in a couple episodes. And the Dick Van Dyke Show even had an episode where the show within a show, the show that Van Dyke's character wrote for, was getting an award for its handling of race, something that the show itself obviously did not concern itself with. The Dick Van Dyke Show was one of the great black and white TV series, but mostly white. Anyway, enough of that digression. As I was saying, in Is This Tomorrow?, the communists were to blame for everything. along the way in telling this, there are actually some interesting predictive moments. The President of the United States is assassinated during a parade. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, it gets better because the assassin is himself shot to death before being able to tell anyone if there was a conspiracy. And as I said, this was 1947. Everything is played pretty broadly. In my favorite panel, a man literally stops an attacker by flinging a Bible into his face. Now, that's the kind of action one looks at comics for. Now, before you read too much symbolism into this as showing the power of the Bible, the mightiness of the religious, or any such thing, realize that the Bible flinger is actually one of the bad guys, a main conspirator. Now, William Shakespeare once wrote that the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. Apparently, he can fling it as well. But as I said, this is not a subtle investigation of the way things happen. This is a piece of anti-communist propaganda. And it's interesting to me as an example of how things were discussed at the time. Schultz's involvement has been described various places as drawing the final few panels of the story. You can see that claim in, for example, David Michaelis's biography, Schultz and Peanuts. I don't think that's right, at least not how you would normally take it, that he drew the last few panels of page 48 at the very end of the story. If you look through the comic, it's not only pretty clear that there were multiple artists involved, but even that there were at times multiple pencilers or inkers working on the same page. The style changes that much. Now, there are folks in comics who are much better than I at identifying artists, and even they get into arguments about whether a given shot of Superman, say, was drawn by Wayne Boring, or whether it was drawn by Kurt Swan with an inker who just made it look more like Wayne Boring's work. And I'm not an expert like that, but I have spent some time looking at this comic, and I've looked at what I can find of Schultz drawing adults. You see some of the sketches he did during the war, for example. And I think, yes, the very last panel of the comic is probably his work. But that's the only panel on page 48 that is. There are others to be found elsewhere. If you happen to have a copy of this work, check out page 37, and you'll find some art that matches that final panel pretty strongly. Now, this isn't some great work of Schultz's. It would be interesting to see what he would have done if he had become more of a dramatic comic book artist rather than following the humor path that he did. But 1947, even his humor work, was at a very formative stage. Little Folks, while amusing, doesn't even look as good as year 2 of Peanuts, much less year 22. But we shall never know what he might have done as a dramatic comic book artist. But as I say, the book is interesting as an example of the Red Scare rhetoric of the time. While the concerns about international communism as it existed were indeed genuine and had some real grounding, that does not mean that they weren't capable of being overplayed, as in this, and being used as an excuse for all of America's ills. The sort of international communism we saw at the time has obviously abated greatly. And hey, racism and racial strife, still with us. Internal conflict in America, still very much alive. And let me be clear. None of the nature of the content should be read as reflecting Schultz's politics. He obviously did not write this thing. Just as he was working on the Catholic comics without ever being Catholic, he was many things religiously over his years, but Catholic was clearly never among them. This was likely just another early chance to get published. Believe me, when one is starting out in comics, one tends to be eager and grateful for whatever work one can get. Anyway, this comic, which went through a number of printings back when originally issued, judging by some variation in the covers, it came back into print a couple years back from Canton Street Press. I have not checked out their edition to see the quality of reproduction, but it's about $9. Or you can get a Kindle copy for even cheaper, or read it online for the cost of your internet time. The book appears to be in the public domain in the US, which would mean that those scans are legal. I'll provide some links to it on the blog. And do keep up with the blog. We have announcements of new books there, as well as interesting notes. Really, most of the cutting news goes there. My goal with the podcast is to provide mostly things that will be more timeless. Mostly. But if you have any comments, any questions, anything I might use in the mailbag episodes, any suggestions for interviews or topics, send them on to questions@augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. And the blog is blog.augh.com. And feel free to, not only free, encourage to share links to the podcast episodes with other people you think might be interested. And until next time, may all your tomorrows be better than the Is This Tomorrow tomorrow. May all your use of scripture be accurate and on target. And may all your griefs be good ones.